nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fault I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each day by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Break thou the bread of life,
dear Lord,
I plead. As thou didst break the loaf beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee. Truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the breath by Galilee, then shall all planets cease, all critters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Oh, send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my life and make me sing. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy blood revealed, I see the
Welcome to Harbor of Joy this morning. There's too many of you here. If you want to go, you can go. But we're glad that you come as well. Some announcements that before I share them, I just want you to know how many love the fog. There's not a hand up. How many love the snow? Oh, okay. That's pretty well gone. But it might come again, who knows? But good to see everyone here this morning, no matter where you have come from. I know we got some guests from Rochester, Minnesota, but I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to stand up or say anything. They just want you to recognize that you are here. And there are probably others here from other places as well that we're glad that you've come to join us in serving the Lord here today or worshiping Him together. Want to let you know that this, you had no advance warning on this, but it's right here. Tonight, at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a movie that is shown in the Fireside Room called The Jesus Revolution. I believe it's kind of like the story of Greg Laurie, who is a a big name in the evangelical circles. It's basically about his life. And he was kind of grew up in the hippie movement. Any of you here that were hippies at one time? You know, I kind of was right at the edge of it after it, you know, but you know, the hippies, I've heard many things about, like, oh, that hair. Look at those guys. They look like girls, you know, and it was just the establishment was the big thing. Anything you do against the establishment was two thumbs up. Remember those days? It's kind of when marijuana started getting out there as well, but look where we're at today. Look where we're at today. Anyway, there is going to be popcorn provided tonight, so that will probably make you want to come out and eat some popcorn and watch the movie this evening at 6 o'clock. That will start. This week, everything is going to be the same as normal, as you see in your bulletin. Just want you to know that on Thursday, Lunch with the Bunch is from noon till 1 o'clock, if you're able to make it. We're going to see part two of Esther as it was recorded down in Branson, Missouri. And we saw the first part this last Thursday. And guess what? The second part is really where we started in our Bible study, when we started meeting back in probably November it was. And we're going to pick up right there, so we get to see it kind of live and compare it to what we studied and to see what's there. But it's an awesome DVD, and thank you, Dina, for figuring out the TV to get it on there as well. So anyone's invited to come to that. If you've been to the study or not, it doesn't matter. We had a really big turnout last Thursday. We had one person that came that was not part of the study. But see if we can't get two extra people this time. But it'd be a great time this Thursday from noon till 1 o'clock. The roses that you see here are from in memory of Mary and Kyle, who passed away. And I thought someone from the church or the church had bought these roses, and I told that to everybody at the funeral, and I was wrong. I found out later it came from Jeff Kyle's sister. She bought them and had them delivered here at the church. And so it comes from her. She lives in Alabama. And so she left them here for us to remember Marion as well as to enjoy the beauty of the roses, because they probably aren't going to be here next Sunday because they're looking look pretty good now, but they can go downhill from here. So that's what we have here. Man, this is for you. Guess what's taking place on the 21st of February, a Wednesday night. It's during Lent. It's our first Lenten service at 6:30. The men are to make chili. And the men will set it all up. The men will clean up. And the men will serve. I may even get my confirmation classes to do some serving. I don't know. But we just thought we'd give the ladies a time off, because you do so much over the year. It's always ladies providing the refreshments after church and doing this and doing that. And I said, you know, I know the men are tired and retired, but they can still do something. And so I'll be right in there with you, okay? And come on Wednesday. We're going to start eating at 5:15. So that means you got to come a little bit early to try the chili, so we get done with everything before the Lenten service. The Lenten theme is in your bulletin, I believe it is. It's looking at the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17 is where I'm going to start with that. We'll see where it goes from there. But the title is going to be, or the theme is going to be, Jesus Looks Up. We're going to see what is really on his heart in that prayer in John 17. And I think it's well worth studying and looking at and being reminded of all that he was going through, because right after this prayer is when he is betrayed. And so we look at the things that Jesus suffered, how he suffered for us in going to the cross during Lent. So we want to remind you that is going to take place on the Wednesday night fellowship that will be done earlier because of Lent this year. And also, if you want to have anything to eat, like traditionally it's like soup or a sandwich or whatever it is, or something, a little supper that you have before a Lenten service. If you don't sign up, there will be nothing. Right? Because there has to be someone in charge of it to make sure that it happens. So there is a sign-up sheet. I believe it is by the ledge where the church office is at. If you want to sign up, meaning that you would kind of take charge of that, or who knows, if your name is on there, somebody else will read your name, and they'll go like, okay, I can help that person, or whatever it is. But if there's nobody that signs up, there won't be anything for Lent suppers type of a thing. Not that we don't want them, but there has to be somebody willing to do it and to make sure that it takes place. So don't think you can just bring a plate of deviled eggs and leave them here and that's going to be enough for supper. It probably won't happen that way. But sign up if you can. We would appreciate that. That's all the announcements I'm going to make, but I'd like to just have a word of prayer before we continue worshiping the Lord together this morning. Heavenly Father, you know, we sometimes say that our mind is like fog. And it's kind of like we don't always see things like we should. We don't feel quite right. We feel a little disoriented. And there may be some here today that they go like, yeah, it sounds like you're talking about my life. But Lord, we know that this is the day that you have given to us. We will rejoice and be glad in it, regardless if it's foggy or not. It'll just make us appreciate the sun and the clear skies whenever they come. And we hope they do come. And so we pray that you would use this time of just reminding us that you are still here with us. You are for us. You loved us first. You care about everything that's going on in our lives, regardless of what it is. And may we just draw close to you during our time in worshiping you today, as well as having communion together as well. And so we pray that you be with those in our midst, Lord, that need your touch in their lives, whoever they may be. And be with those that are going on vacation and taking some time off, that they would just keep close to you and be thankful for all that you have done and what you have given to them as well. And so we just praise you and thank you for who you are. And Lord, we love you. We truly do love you. And may that not just be by words and by on our lips, but may it be truly that comes from our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah?
We had a record at men's breakfast.
No. We had a record at the men's breakfast yesterday. There were 15 and 3/4. Something like, yeah. If you counted everybody that was there, there were 17 there, 17 guys. I'll just say guys, okay? So now remember, I did not say this. Ron said this. You know, he brought this out, okay? So the guys just go like, we got to beat the women. So John Arthur's going like, we need one more. If one more comes, we're going to beat the women. Oh. But notice that women don't get together this time of the year as much, but we did. I don't know why. Must have been the fog. I don't know. But way to go, guys. Carry on. Oh, is there me? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Brief order of confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's just take some time in silence as you can just talk to the Lord yourself, because God hears everything that you're going to say to him anyway, but he still asks us and invites us to talk to him, pray to him. That's really what prayer is. It's prayer is just talking as you talk to your best friend. Conversation. Just talk to the Lord. Help him to show you. If you can't think of anything, say, Holy Spirit, show me where I have sinned. Show me what I need to confess before you today. So let's take that time in silence and do this. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. And I will invite you to stand, if you're able to stand, as we hear where God's word comes to us today out of the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, very end of chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. It says this: Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Only one. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last how long? Forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that Paul gives to us. They are instructions and they are words, Lord, that are to encourage us and to show us the way in which we live our lives and what we're to do with the faith that you've given to us, because it's not to be kept to ourselves, it's to be shared with other people along the way, whoever they may be, young, old, and everyone in between. We need to hear your word. And so, Lord, today, open our ears. Help us to hear what you want us to hear from you today and to apply it to our lives as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to let you know this morning, and it's like, don't forget this. The Christian life, the Christian walk, is not a 100-meter sprint or 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It doesn't matter what place you come in a race, but it is important that you just finish. Just finish. This year is the Summer Olympics, if you didn't know. Have you seen some of the commercials? Where are they going to be held at? Very good. I got my hearing aid, I can hear. They're going to be in Paris, France, this summer, the Summer Olympics. They come every 4 years. So do you know what that means for the athletes that go to the Olympics? It means that they have trained for 4 years to go to be an Olympian. They have to be chosen to be Olympian first, but those that do go have gone through all of that, and they go to represent the country from which they are from, and they go to compete against other athletes around the world. Some of the sports are team sports. Some of them are individual sports. What Paul is talking about here to us is pretty much individual sports. And Corinth is the place in Greece, modern-day Greece, where it became a big to-do to hold what they call the Isthmian. It sounds like that commercial. Isthmian Games is what they call them. Isthmian Games. It is really where we get our Olympics Games from. It comes from Greece. And if you win in the Olympics, you know, only the top three people will be given a gold medal. They'll get on the stand, they'll have the raising of the flags, but only the one who got first place, you'll hear the national anthem of that country that is raised up. At least that's the way it has been in the past. I don't know what will happen this year. Maybe it won't be that way. I don't know. But all the focus is on the number one gold medal winner. We all like to win. But as Paul writes this, he's thinking about the games that have been played in Greece, the athletes that partake in it, and when the number one winner in the event that they have chosen to train themselves to be in and to do, their prize is a piece of vegetation wrapped around the top of their head. And that is going to get brittle over time. It's going to fall apart. And here Paul tells us, hey, run the race. Be like an athlete, but to know that you are going to win the prize, which will be, that's going to last forever. Not some of these things that we see that are happening in the day in which he is preaching and he lives in. A piece of celery wrapped around their heads, or a branch of myrtle or something. But it doesn't last. It'll be gone. So I just want to remind you that there's strict training required to be what Paul is talking about here. He's using a sports metaphor, something to do with a race, that everyone in Greece would be well aware of, the people of Corinth would be well aware of. And by the way, Corinth is not the kind of place where you'd want to be a pastor of a church. If you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there's reasons why there's two books regarding the Christian faith of people in the church in Corinth. And I just said, I don't ever want to be a part of a church that is like Corinth. You have to read it to understand that. But this is what Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers, is we're in a race, but to know that it doesn't matter what place you take, just finish the race, because in the end, it is going to last forever. Everyone is going to receive that for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that's very worthy. That's a very great thing to know. So hang in there. The ones who raced in Paul's day, they would train for only 10 months. And only one of them would win after training for 10 months. And here we look at the Olympics today. These people train for 4 years. And it takes discipline. It takes where they give up a lot of things, because everything they're focused on is they want to be the best. They want to represent the country in a great way. They want to get a gold when they go to the Olympics, but it's going to take them 4 years to get there. So it might be dieting. It might be a certain kind of a diet that they have. They got to have so much rest. They have to get up at such a time and practice and lift weights and run, or who knows, whatever it is, for 4 years. I don't even think they go to church, because they practice that day as well. It's very intense, very grueling to be an athlete. So when you watch the Summer Olympics, if you do, if they're on, notice those that are competing, they've been practicing and working out to be the best for that sport on that day. So I've told you how long they have trained, and it doesn't matter what place you finish. It's just like when it comes to the things of the Lord, the things of God, realize that it doesn't matter what place. There is no place in God's eyes. It's just that you finish, that you're in the race. You're sharing the faith in your life or with someone else along the way, because Paul said he did not want to be disqualified. That would be the worst thing that could happen. You spend all this time training, going through real strict training, and you can get disqualified and not even run your event or be in it because you did something that was against the rules. I think of a relay race. What happens if you drop the baton? Or is it the baton? If you drop the baton, you're done. You can't pick it up off the ground and run and try to catch up. No, you're done. You're disqualified by dropping the baton. You did not follow the rules. The rules are that you have to pass the baton to the next runner to go. If you drop it, or if he doesn't get it within a certain amount of meters, he's disqualified. It has to be done kind of like perfectly in the Olympics. and in the games that we're talking about here. I'm not going to try to say the name because I'll just get, it'll be a tongue twister and I won't say it right. But it's always been that way in anyone who would compete in a race in Greece at the time and in the Olympics, wherever they're held in the last few years and today. But every 4 years is when they take place. Paul tells us some things that you don't want to do. It says, practice is over the long hauls, but don't practice without having a purpose in mind. And I think all the athletes know what the purpose is. It's to win. It's to be number one. And so Paul just says that he himself does not run without a purpose. There's a reason that he does what he does. When he goes out to different places, and his purpose is always to go and share Jesus Christ with people who've never, ever heard. And then if he can, to start a church with those people and to help them get started and then move on to another place where the same thing goes on. But that's Paul's purpose. And he was very good at that. I have been a part of starting a church once. I thought, I just want to see if I could do that. The Lord could really help me in getting that taking place and to do it, where you just start with from the very beginning of a new church. And I thought it'd be kind of exciting and just a challenge just to see what it would be like, not only then to start the church, but then to stay in a place long enough to see the next generation happen. You know, it's kind of like take the kids through, you baptize some of the kids, and then they grow up and they get into confirmation, and then they get married and they have their families, and grandpa and grandma, they die off, and you have their funerals, but you're connected with the kids. They've known you for many years. And that's what I wanted to do. It was kind of just a heart thing. And the big thing was, is I only wanted to do this in one state, North Dakota. Because everybody thinks of North Dakota like Lazarus, like Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? But I just said, that was something, I just said, Lord, you know, if I can stay in North Dakota, I'd love to start a church and to be there to see the next generation, so to be a part, to be the pastor through those years. And you know something? God honored that prayer. It's before we moved here. So I know what it's like, what Paul is talking about here, in starting something that never existed really before, but a group of people who needed a pastor. And it was not my idea, it's following what God's word says. It's like, you know, if you can help, then you should help. And then, ta-da! Here we are. We came to this church, and I said from the very beginning, I'm just fine being a parishioner in a pew and to be taught by some other pastor, and this can be my church or our church. But it's like, I don't have to be the pastor. But God had another idea. And I'm kind of going like, why me, Lord? You know, but here we are. And I'm thankful for that. And so Paul says, do not go out without a purpose. Have a purpose in mind. And the second one is, do not waste your time in being distracted with other things. You have to stay focused. There can be a lot of distractions. Here's one that just comes to my mind this morning. What I have learned over the years is you can have a lot of people with great ideas, but you know who they want to share their ideas with and who they want the person to do them? Me, or the pastor. And I used to listen to them. And I realized that all I'm doing is trying to appease people. I do what they want me to do, and I do it because I want them to like me. But I've learned over the years, it's like, hey, somebody's got a good idea, I'm all for it. But I go like, then you do it. I believe God gave you that idea, and he wants you to do it, not me. So run with your ideas. Tell the pastor about them. Probably can give you some insights on it. But if God gave you the ideas, then you do them. Don't expect the pastor to do it for you. And that takes a whole lot of pressure off of the pastor as well. And it helps the whole body of the church, but seeing that somebody else is doing this and that and that. It should not be run by just one guy or one woman. It's a group of people that God has given abilities and gifts. Use them. Exercise them. You trust God with them. You learn things about the Lord and about yourself you never would have learned otherwise. Paul understands this. And prior to this, our text here today, if you just look at the few verses ahead of where I've read from here today, you'll find out that Paul says this. He did everything to become, well, it's to reach people for the Lord. He became all things. If people were not like him, he would become like those people, but the purpose was that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. And he did a lot of different things. And that's always been a great portion of Scripture that I have always hung on to over the years. Paul reminds us that the important stuff as an athlete goes along with also being a Christian today, that it's not always easy. Sometimes it's foggy for many days. We all know what that's like. Who's waiting for the sun to shine? I sure am. And you know you're going to notice in the attitudes of people that when the sun comes out, everyone's going to be in a much better place. They might even have a smile on their face. And they'll say, it's just because it's sunny today. Which is good. But the important stuff is difficult and it's hard. To be an athlete, it's going to take discipline. Do you like discipline? I hate discipline. Because discipline means you're going to have to train, you're going to have to exercise, you're going to have to do things that you would not normally want to do. But you'll do it anyway, because God has laid it on your heart to do. Or God has brought an opportunity before you that only he wants you to do it, so that you can see him at work in your heart and in your life. And at the end, you'll probably go like, hallelujah, I never thought I could do that. Well, you didn't. But God worked in you and through you to see it through and to get it done. He gets the credit. But he picked you to do that. You have discipleship, which is teaching. Learning how to be taught what's in the Bible that is important for a believer to know, and how can you grow as a believer. You do not stay in kindergarten your entire life. Just saying, well, I believe in Jesus, and that's all I need. Well, then let's save babies. Okay, babies, you just stay in diapers for 85 years. You know? We'd find that really, it's not normal. You graduate from diapers to walking, getting out of diapers somewhere along the way, and you start eating things that our grown-ups eat, and you grow up, and you become stronger than you were when you were a baby, and on it goes. It's the same way in the Christian life. You don't stay in diapers. And there are people I have met that are in their They're retired and beyond. And they've never really grown up in their faith. So I just say that as a challenge to you. Are you growing in your faith, or are you just sitting in diapers For some of you, you call those depends. You know, and sometimes we have to depend on, look at our life. Am I really growing or am I just saying I am? Look for the fruit in your life spiritually. There's a fruit that you have going on in your life the same as you read about in the Bible. I mean, look at just the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are gifts that God wants to give to you. Some of you have them, and we don't have them all at the same time, but we do have them, and God will work them in your life. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Love is one. Joy is another. Peace is one. Kindness, gentleness, goodness. The very last one is self-control. What is it in your life that you need to have more self-control in? The book of James tells us, the tongue. What do you talk about? What do you speak about? Is it good things? Is it encouraging things? Is it things lovingly said? Only God can change that whole attitude that we're prone to have. So we're to live our life after we have discipline, we exercise, we discipleship. That's important in everyday life for a believer in Jesus Christ. And we're to live that faith out every day. Every day. Not just Sunday. Not just today. Not just for 1 hour or an hour and a half or two. It's not just here in this church and then you leave, you turn back into who you are. No. You continue to serve the Lord no matter when or what or where you're at or with whom. It's not always easy, and we fail. But God is there to forgive and to help us along the way. I want to close with just this story. You go back to 1992. Some of you will probably remember this. Some of you are going to go like, I'm too young for that. I probably wasn't even born then. But it was the Olympics in Barcelona, Olympics number 25. And I don't know if you ever remember that there was a guy from Great Britain, his name was Derek Redmond, and he was in the 400 meter race, which is kind of like one time around the track, I think. And he got about halfway around or maybe 3/4 of the way around, and he pulled a hamstring. Now, if you know what a hamstring is, it's kind of like the big muscle in your thigh. And when that popped, he started just hobbling. And he's an Olympian. Has ran this, I don't know how many times before. And then the big day of wanting to win, he pulls a hamstring. Out of the grandstands, guess who comes to help him get around the track? His dad. His dad was there. He took his arm, put it around his shoulders, and his son had a purpose. He was going to finish the race. And his dad helped him all the way around the track. He came in dead last. But he made it all the way around and he finished the race. We have a Heavenly Father who will come and help us when we can't do what we know we can do. May we always lean on Him and trust in Him in our time of need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you for Paul using this metaphor of racing, of being in a race. We find it in other places in Scripture where it says, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's our purpose. That's our focus. And we just say, Lord, help us. Help us to finish the race. Or maybe there's some here today that said, I didn't even know I was in a race. And if I don't know if I was in a race, well then, Lord, I want you to know that I want to get in this race that you're talking about. And that you use my life to touch someone else's life for Jesus Christ. So we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. And then I'll just give a few instructions on how we do communion here. Let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you that know what we do here, just hang on. Be patient and gracious, because there's always somebody here that does not know how we do things. It doesn't matter if you are a member or not of Harbor of Joy when we have communion. Anyone, the Lord Jesus invites everyone to come to his table. The only stipulation is this, is that you love him. You love Jesus. He is your Savior. And by coming to receive his body and his blood, it kind of just is a way of, you're still telling people that you love Jesus. So it's kind of like, it's okay if you don't love Jesus, you're still thinking about him. If you want to sit in the pew, you can sit in the pew. No one's going to come up to you afterwards and say, shame on you, and shake their finger at you, or go, you should be ashamed. No, it's just, you're being honest, and you're being sincere. Because not everybody believes in Jesus Christ. We have two stations. One station is right up here. There'll be a server here as well as up here. And you can go to either one you want. This one here is kind of the quick line. It's kind of like a fast food drive-through. You can come up here and receive and go back and sit down. If you want to do it restaurant style, you come up to the altar and you can kneel. If you're not able to kneel, you can stand. It's just a time of just praying, and you know, it's just praying to the Lord, and you can stay there as long as you want. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, stay there. You'll be served up there as well. So that's kind of what takes place here. If you do take a wafer, I mean, if you're gluten-free, the gluten-free wafers are in the on the plate, the serving plate here. Or if you want to help the server, you just hold your hand out like this, saying that you want gluten-free, or if you just want grape juice. We do serve wine and grape juice. If you want grape juice, you just hold your hand out straight like this, and then the servers know that you want grape juice. And it's no big deal in doing that. So I think that's pretty much how we do it here. But you're more than welcome to be a part. For kids, one more thing, is just the kids. If you haven't been through confirmation, we just rather that you wait until you are confirmed before you partake in receiving the body and the blood of Jesus, because it's important that you know what you're doing. We want you to understand what you're doing. And if you got any questions about communion, come and ask me about them or call me or whatever. I'd be more than glad to talk to you about it. These are things that I did not know growing up as a kid myself. I just thought it was cool to go up to the railing and to take communion because I was big enough now. Never really gave it any kind of thought of why I'm doing it or what's behind it. And maybe there's someone here today that's like that too. I don't know. I'm just being honest with you. So it's an important spiritual connection that you make with the Lord as we come to his table that he provides for us, and it's his invitation to you and to me. So with that, let's just move into our communion service here. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you." He broke it, and he handed it to them. He showed them that he was going to give it to them, and he said to them, "This is my body, eat it. Eat all of it." And they were surprised that he said something like that. They didn't understand. But they obeyed. Jesus said it. Jesus doesn't lie. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Father. And he said to his disciples, "This is my blood." As he picked up the goblet or the cup, and he said, drink all of it for the remission of your sins. And so it's a very personal time when you come to commune with the Lord. But it's for everyone. But it comes down to faith in Jesus. Is he your Savior? Are you really living for him, or are you just going through the motions? And so they drank. And then Jesus led them out of the Last Supper, and he went out to pray. He asked James, John, and Peter to join him. The other disciples were further away. And only John records the prayer that Jesus prayed, which we'll look at Lent this year. So today, when you come, realize that it was Jesus who loved you first and laid down his life on the cross for you and rose again for you as well. So I'm going to ask Logan and Bryn Powell to come up. You're going to help. Bryn, you'll be right here. Bryn, where are you? Logan, come on up. Okay, Bryn, you'll hold. This is where you put the cups in. She's going to hold this. Logan's going to help me up front. You can just stand right there if you like. Logan, you come up here. And Logan's going to carry the basket for the cups too, as well. I'll invite the servers to come at this time, and then someone will usher you from your pew to either come up here, it's your choice, come up here or go down there. It doesn't really matter. But the servers come, please. Just need three.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
They laughed and scorned him as
Jesus, he died, the humble king, they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by the rod and rod, and to
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing our closing hymn today. Serve the Lord.
Hey there, Maria.
How's it going?
Has my